Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right. So we, it's kind of a serious note, just as a heads up. We are going to be discussing cursing and censorship and saucy language on today's podcast. So if this is a topic that you are sensitive to, listener discretion is advised. You know, you might want to skip this episode and, you know, just head on to the next one or just listen to some of our old.
Would somebody think of the children?
And welcome to another childless episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country where Anthony Edwards just missed the game-winning shot, literally just now. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. And I was really... I'll thank you that we are definitely not childless, if you include little kitty babies as children.
No.
In that case, we have lots of children.
Hair everywhere.
On this podcast.
I'm the only one in the group with a dog, by the way.
You are.
By which you mean puppy, 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 puppy.
Oh, she's, she's old enough. She can be tried as an adult.
Yeah, but she's so small. She's very small and compact.
That's why Peter Dinklage got away with so many crimes.
Yeah.
That's the line we're drawing here.
If only we did some Joe Rogan style and we like released video of our podcast as it's being recorded, all of our listeners would like be very, very well acquainted with every single one of our damn cats.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can find t-shirts of some of them on our Redbubble page.
Sam, there has never been a better segue. Hit it with the socials.
Oh my gosh. Well, yes, you can find all us on most of the standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise, including our shirts that say please meow back, with assorted 12 Points from America, you know, four-legged friends. On there, over at our Redbubble page, or you could support us as well via a contribution either on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or via a monthly contribution on Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. All right, we're on a bit of a time crunch here, so let's just hop into news. We've got hosts right here in River City with capital H, and that rhymes with Blaich, and that stands for blue? I don't know.
Blaich?
Yeah, Blaich.
I use Blaich on my Landry.
Rhymes with H, which the weird Brits say. I'm a little bit disappointed that, I mean, I know it's Switzerland. There's not too many Swiss celebrities, but I don't know, outside of, I'm going to say Roger Federer, but, you know, he wasn't going to host Eurovision. Who do we got?
All right, so we've got Hazel Brugger, who is a, I believe, San Diego-born comedian, grew up in Switzerland, is, you know, I believe, triple citizenship with Germany as well. Sandra Studer, who is known to the Eurovision community as Sandra Simo, who represented Switzerland back in 1991, coming in, I want to say, fifth or sixth place with the Canzone per te. In the final, the two of them will be joined by very well-known Swiss presenter Michelle Hunziker. Then they also have this big event that's going to be hosted over at the Overflow Arena next door, basically, and that's going to be hosted by Sven Epinay and Melanie Fremond. They're going to be giving out the 12 points. Sven is going to be commentating. It's, I mean, I've met Sven, actually. I was at the national final in Switzerland back in 2012 for the 2013 contest, and he's been involved at Eurovision for a long, long time. He's sort of, at least German-speaking Switzerland's Mr. Eurovision. I'm happy to see him being involved with this. I'd be shocked if he wasn't in some way, shape, or form. So good to see that is happening. Eric, you seem to have posted a little bit of information that there is a mascot being bandied about. What's up with that?
Yes, I'm very excited for this. What is this?
Yes, there's... first of all, on the hosts, I want to say I have... The vibe seemed to be that Hazel Brugger has some real like Philomena potential.
Ooh.
It seems like I think
you mean
that's
like Philomena Kunk?
No, that would also be fine, but that's not what I meant. But yeah, that's going to be the one to watch as far as hosts.
Good.
But yeah,
any good hosting balance, you have to have the one with the gravitas, the one with the musical ability, and the unhinged one.
Yes, absolutely.
Granted, in the case of Anna Waddingham, you get all three in one. But I mean, yeah. So we have the unhinged right here. I'm excited to see this.
Yeah, but yeah, the important news of the week, the most important news of the week, is that apparently there's going to be a Eurovision mascot.
Ooh.
Is this like Olympics style? Like it's going to be absolutely bonkers?
Unclear, but I feel like it almost has to be. I mean, what do you do? Is it going to be like a sentient microphone?
It's Switzerland. Or, like, what's it going to be?
It's going to be a giant talking block of cheese, isn't it?
That was like
just a big alpine horn just walking around with
just
googly
the
eyes.
Ricola guy.
No, it'd be that that hiker who goes off the edge of the mountain in The Price is Right.
The cliffhanger guy. This is
it.
So extremely
I'm so excited.
American a podcast right now. This is I love this.
Possibly Japanese.
Just a cuckoo clock with arms and legs, guys. Come on.
I mean, that's fine. That's fine. We'll take that.
Yep.
We'll take that.
Dancing bar of Toblerone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We don't really know much else about it, except that it's apparently happening. And I'm so excited. Mascots are the best. I'm going to hang out with the mascot the whole time in Basel, for
sure.
Oh,
man. What if it's like, was it Robbie the robot that they had in Armenia? The tiny little robot?
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember. What was his name?
Was he Robbie? Was he?
I don't think it was Robbie.
Robin.
Yeah.
Robin.
Robin was great. Every time Robin spoke, it seemed like it was going to be like, and now you're all going to die. And so, so that was cool.
Yeah.
All right, hey, speaking of robots, Sam.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dragonpot, a place where
we had dinner two nights ago.
Yeah, we had dinner a couple nights ago that had cat robot servers. The future is here. And it is the one thing about the future that I'm presently happy about because,
if they can give us our meat for hot pots and they can potentially co-host our Eurovisions, then
it's going to be
an interesting future.
Maybe we'll be okay. Yeah.
Anyway, in terms of other news, we haven't had much more in terms of confirmations of internal selections, or we haven't had any finals going on, but we've had a whole bunch of stuff released since our last video. UMK, all the songs for UMK from Finland have been released. The annual Wholesome Reaction video is up, where all of the acts listen to each other's songs blind for the first time and try to guess who they are and have their initial reactions. That is up on YouTube at the UMK channel. If you're looking for your warm and fuzzy, everybody lifting each other up kind of moment, I highly recommend that. The songs, they're interesting. There's a wide variety this year. There's our balladry. There's our dance. There's puppy. There's a woman writhing around in honey. There's this national final has everything.
I mean, you say that, but this also sounds like every country's national final every single year.
I know, but they're saying
that's
it in Finnish.
Not Melody Festivalen, you know?
True.
Oh, I don't know. This is...
When will Melody Festivalen ever have somebody writhing around in honey?
Well, they won't, no.
They
won't. But,
yeah, because it's been done at UMK.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I have thoughts on... a lot of this. I think it's overall a fairly solid lineup. I think that a lot of the, and I understand why a lot of the attention is going to Erica Vickman, but I also don't think that song is very good. as much as I love Puppy, I don't know that I would classify that as good either. It's wild, and I love that. It's what I love to see from Finland, you know. I think my favorite of the bunch is Made Of by Goldilocks. That one's like actually artistic and interesting a bit more than some of these other ones. And I don't mean to put down Erica Vickman. I kind of do. But the thing is like we've seen over the last few years that the televote, please correct me, some listeners at home, if this has changed, but the televote there, it seems to be like 90% of it. Like Windows 95 Man went from dead last to an insurmountable lead in the reveal last year, and like
it's a different format for the public vote than it is for like the jury vote, where it's a traditional sort of 12-10 kind of setup. It's all done by percentages. So if 60% of the voting population is voting for a single song, it skews.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, it makes me think that this is Vickman's to lose, and I think that's too bad because there's some cool stuff here. I'm happy for her, but I'm not high on this one.
What'll happen will happen. I mean, honestly, we thought that Paskana had a bit of a lock on it last year, and we'll maybe talk a little bit about Paskana in our episode today.
That's true.
But
is true.
But you never know. Finland can often be a bit of a wild card. So who the heck knows? Let's see. We've had released songs and artists from Iceland. Norway have released their list of artists, including the potential return of Bobby Sox after their win 40 years ago. They were the winners of the 1985 contest with Lavet Sving, and now the pair of them are back. Even though Betan, Elisabeth Andersson, has been back to Eurovision since then. But the two of them together are giving it a shot.
I mean, there's no way, right?
Why
there's
not?
No way.
We haven't heard the songs. We don't know. It could be an incredible song. Or
there's
it could
always
be
rumors, but like, you know, an artist who isn't Johnny Logan who actually has come back to the contest after 5 years. Like
Loreen.
Shut up. Okay. Fine. 10 years.
Well, they're not the only act trying to get back to the contest. Wigwam, after having represented Norway 20 years ago, God, it's 20 years ago at this point, they're giving it another shot as well. Plus, there are a whole bunch of familiar names in the songwriters as well. Anders Rethov, who helps co-write Fuego, Voices, and a whole bunch of others. Ben Adams, who, spoiler alert, is one half of Subwoofer.
Spoiler alert for somebody from 2 years ago.
Adam Woods, who sang with Jan-Henrik Fjällgren at Melfest a couple years ago. Ovi Jacob, who was one half of the Romanian duos in 2010 and 2014. And Sophie Tweed Simmons, who is the daughter of Gene Simmons, lead singer of Kiss.
Yes.
And also one of the co-writers of Halo, is also on the writing staff for this year.
Going on here? How did I not know that?
Gene Simmons named his child something as normal as Sophie Tweed?
Well, Tweed Simmons is a double barrel last name.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, normal singer-songwriter, supposedly she's pretty well adjusted. But yeah, she would not only be, you know, an interesting pick, she's not a singer, she's a songwriter. But like she's done Eurovision songs before, so we'll see. We now have our running list for Moldova. They had their whole big open audition process, including a disqualification after one of their artists showed up 20 minutes late. So yeah, they are brutal over there in Moldova. It seems that we had a couple of major cuts from that long list. We say goodbye to the act known as Poops, which I'm very sad about.
Oh man.
Yeah, poor one out for Poops.
We don't have Poops anymore.
No, nor do we have everybody's favorite Moldovan grandpa, Tudor Bumbach.
Bumbach. Oh, he was great.
Grandpa Tudor,
They gotta let him through just once.
Each
chance could be our last. We got to let him through.
He's Moldovan national treasure. We love him.
You watch out. You want to let him through. We're going to have a Harabjark situation. Last year.
That's fine.
You know?
there's worse fates, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the time the show airs, we'll have the final of the Israeli act selection process. So we'll have the entrant for there. Luxembourg is going to be picking on the 25th. Greece is picking on January 30th. We'll have the full songs released for Ireland, Ukraine, Portugal, Norway, half of Belgium. The other half has already been released. I mean, we don't have a lot of results yet, but we've got a lot of songs. Your Spotify playlists are bursting at the seams, I'm sure. But let's keep rolling. Today we wanted to talk, and we kind of talked about Pascana earlier in our news recap.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to talk a little bit about censorship at Eurovision and naughty language in all of its forms.
Fuck yeah.
The sauciness. It feels like the majority of the censorship that we talk about is like political censorship. That's the interesting stuff, because I feel like all of the saucy language stuff really gets filtered out by the time we get to the contest.
But does it really, though? And what is considered saucy and what is considered inappropriate? I think that's
too many
question.
Languages in Europe.
Yeah. And a word that is, you know, you could say hell in English. And it's like, okay, who the hell is Edgar? Or that's not a big deal. But you could say something equivalent in another language, and it is an absolute blasphemy. You know, even within the same dialects of a single language, you know, one of the biggest curse words in Quebecois French is tabernac.
That's what came to my mind, too. I'm like, why are these people so bent out of shape about saying tabernacle?
Yeah, exactly. And you say that to a, you know, European French speaker, and they're like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
I mean, even a word for the female anatomy that we have alluded to in a recent mention of a Maltese song with a sound-alike name. In American English, it's considered really offensive. but in Australian English and British English, less so. It's a term of endearment.
Only
at times.
Slightly less so.
Yeah.
Only, well, slightly
I feel like
less
in
so.
Parts yeah. of Markedly Britain, it's just so, a salutation, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's like dogs if, sniffing each other's butts just to say hello. You know, it's just yeah. it's just what you do.
If you're a Gallagher, it's the period at the end of a sentence.
Sure.
Basically.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You mean the Oasis brothers, not the dude who would smash watermelons with his mallets, right?
Oh, no. Screw that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's dead. Don't worry about it.
He's dead. That's true.
That's true.
I have to wonder, Sam, what is the precise wording in like the ESC or EBU bylaws? What are the specific sentiments or words?
Do they
or
have
like,
a where seven dirty words you can't say at Eurovision?
Yeah, I don't think they've got a Carlin
yeah,
list.
Enumerate them?
Yes, they do. And they are as follows.
I was surprised
2018. The Czech Republic song Lie to Me, he said God damn it, and I was like, oh, they can say that, because I feel like in American television we would not let that fly.
The weird thing on American TV is that we edit out the God part, which even as a child I was like, what's going on?
That's too much.
Yeah, I mean, what is considered offensive is such a huge spectrum.
Is there like a council that votes on it? Because obviously some things are cut and dry. Like when your city's any saying, I eat veggies and pussy, I think we know what's going on there.
No, he let the audience say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like God damn. Like, God damn is just sort of like a normal, I don't know. I don't want to speak for most people, but it seems like a relatively mild epithet to me.
For you, yes, but I feel like there's a lot of like very Catholic or very Christian countries or organizations across Europe that would not be cool with that. And I'm surprised they let that one slide.
What about hot damn?
But hot damn? That would have been fine.
Yeah. What the EBU allows in general might not necessarily be what a specific broadcaster has in mind. And for all we know, there could be somebody sitting in the control booth at, I don't know, pick a country out of a hat, San Marinese National Television, saying this word is, you know, that's no go for us. I'm going to hit the red button and, you know, bleep it out.
The rule was they have to show the contest in its entirety without alteration.
That is, yeah, that's a really big question.
Is that how it rolls? Would it be like once a song has been selected, is it sort of then up to sort of like the constituent broadcasters who will all be showing Eurovision to sort of like put up their hand and give them, I do not like this slur. Like, you know, like
I'd imagine the reference group meeting must cover some of this.
And what is that?
Yeah. And Derek, you had mentioned that you have to show the contest in its entirety. That rule we have definitely seen enforced. Mm-hmm. There was a 2016?
It was 2018. Was it when they stopped showing it because the Irish song had the gay dancers?
Yeah, between that and I believe there was a lot of tattoos that somebody was...
Oh, Albania. Yeah.
Yeah. There were tattoos on the Albanian entries.
What was that one?
I think it was just Jugend Busch Beppe. It would have been Mall. Yeah. I think they just showed him having tattooed arms and they were up in arms about that as well.
In Asia.
Up in arms. Yeah.
Wait, there's not anything like specific about the tattoos. It was just that he was heavily inked. That's it.
In several Asian countries, it's heavily associated with organized crime.
Oh, sure.
Or just criminality.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
For the most part, you don't see it on television or in movies unless. Specifically for dramatic purposes or whatever.
Right.
Can I show up wearing a big bushy mustache and an eye patch though?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
So I, as I recall, China decided to just not air certain songs during one of the semifinals or something like that. And then by the end of the week, when we got to Saturday, it was like, you're not showing the final.
Yeah.
You're out. You're
done. They lost broadcasting rights to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I
think they were blurring out the Irish dancers and the guy and Busch Beppe, like just to obscure all that. And they were like, no, you can't do that. It has to be all or nothing. That was what the discussion was at the time. I don't know if that was actually the case. It might have just been what people were saying at the time.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen any footage of their footage.
They did not show the final. There's a little other history to this, to that as well. Was it Jordan that aired it in the 70s? And then when Israel won?
Yeah, they basically...
This is my favorite, honestly. This is like, one of my top three stories are like Eurovision lore.
Yeah, it was. I want to say it was the 1978 contest.
Yep.
And Israel was very much on track to winning the contest, and Jordanian television, who was broadcasting that year, were like, yeah, let's not. So they basically pulled the plug. The story is that they were showing pictures of flower arranging instead. And then in the news the next day, they said, oh yeah, Belgium won. And Belgium had come in second place that year. He's like, let's never speak of this again.
Good job, guys. No one will ever find out you lied about that.
Yeah. Again, this isn't necessarily, you know, profanity that we're talking about here, but just censorship on a national broadcaster level, you know, which there is a unfortunate precedent. It hasn't been done by many of the contest participating nations, I think, in the recent years, but I think that there would be repercussions if it was done. However, if there is if a word, for example, gets through and the EBU allows it, but the broadcaster has their 7 dirty words that they can't have, are their hands tied?
There has to be some unreleased document somewhere that lists all the rules that they have to follow.
Yeah.
Where the EBU says flat out, you cannot send a song to Eurovision if it violates any of these, and we are not budging on this at all. So right. If they swear or make any sexual comments or something that would be construed as offensive, they have to change it before they submit it in March. And we've seen a handful of songs in the recent years, like Pedestal by Echo last year.
Oh yeah,
had some profanities that she had to change before she submitted it officially.
Oh, totally. And we've seen a whole bunch of other cases where words were either changed, or in the case of Citizeni with Eat Your Salad, you know, we all knew the word was there, and they, you know, the lead singer pointed the mic to the audience and they filled in the blank. Malta back in 2023, that would be, with Dancer on Party, the line is fogged up, as in full of fog. And yet when sung, it sounds like another word.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Fudged.
Ooh.
We've had a couple of like freaking like sort of minced oaths.
Can I say I hate that every time?
I know.
It sounds like it's a fifth grader singing it all of a sudden.
I know. Especially considering that in Melody Festivalen, you're allowed to cuss as much as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. My God. Yeah.
But they neuter it by the time it makes it to the stage. But
Iceland, just find a different word. You got to
fracking.
Fracking, yeah. Beautiful.
But Iceland has done it as well. There was the song "Congratulations" by Silmia Knight back in 2006. The vote is "Win, I'll blanking win" was changed to "Freaking Win."
Yeah. To be fair, though, "Freaking" kind of works with her because she's. Because she's Sylvia Knight.
Oh, true. But so the original flavor. And then we've had a couple of cases where a word has been softened in another language. We think about
Måneskin.
That's
what I'm interested in. Yeah.
Måneskin, yeah. Where the words cazzo and coglione, which, you know, che cazzo is like, what the F? And coglione means balls.
Balls!
Yeah, like, tocca il coglione is basically like, it literally means touch your balls, but it kind of has the connotation of like, knock on wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they changed that.
It seems mild. It seems like a set phrase that sort of is like divorced of that sort of like,
Kekatsu would absolutely be the stronger of those two, but they just changed the pair of them. But
balls.
But there have also been a lot of Italian curses that have gone through. In Due Vite, for example, e ci siamo fottuti ancora una notte fuori un locale. Like the line that Marco Mengoni sings in 23 basically translates to "we fucked outside of a club one night," and that went through. Fottuti.
Do they just love Italy? Does this have anything to do with like the weight of like Italian influence in Eurovision?
Or
is that anything?
Just not,
they just throw their weight around. They're just like, hey, we're saying it.
Or are people just not? Or are they just not checking?
Yeah.
Or is the word just not that big of a deal in Italian?
Yeah, is this like I understand English is like the lingua franca for a lot of Europe and for a lot of Eurovision at this point, you know? But like, so it's tough to get a swear word through. It's really easy to gauge what is a swear word, what is offensive in English. But like, are we willing to do the same thing for French and English or French and Italian?
I mean, it happened in Slovene as well.
Yeah.
Back into our boys, LPS. Remember them?
God, do I.
There was a line, "Je vais solo ye zazrai," which could either mean "Je vais fucked up his solo" or "he messed up his solo." But either way, it kind of comes from like the root word meaning shit. So I mean, it went through. But like, I don't know. We don't know enough about every single language that participates in the contest where we know how strong is this.
So I found the duty of care document for 2024.
Okay, yeah. Great.
And looking for any like absolute specifics on this, and this is what it says about lyrics and language. I'm just going to read this whole thing.
Please
Each
do.
Participating broadcaster is free to decide the language in which his contestants will sing. No lyrics of a political, commercial, or similar nature shall be permitted during the Eurovision Song Contest. Additionally, swearing or any other language that is unacceptable, illegal, unethical, offensive, obscene, defamatory, or deemed inappropriate for the ESC, or otherwise offensive to public morals or decency, shall not be allowed in the lyrics or in the act.
That's so, open to interpretation.
Yeah, that is
no
dope.
Kidding.
I love unethical.
I think it's clear.
I'm going to sing about some white collar crime. I'm going to start. Watch out for the Sam Marini's submission in 2025, all about embezzlement. Yeah, it's going to be hot. Yeah. Insider trading.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, there's no single person who's the arbiter of this. No single language. There's no way to do that.
Is it like the pornography thing? I'll know it when I see it, but I can't define it.
Then we come back to one of the acts that we've already talked about with Ikome in the Finnish national final, which is all about the very, very specific moment. it doesn't hide anything. But there's no actual profane, there's no cussing in the language from what I can tell. I don't speak Finnish, but it's describing an act and the culmination of said act in a very, very direct and basically unmistakable kind of manner. And I'm not saying this as any sort of pearl clutching. I'm not trying to talk it down. I'm just as a point of argument. Like, what's if the Cypriot broadcaster got floods of emails and letters from people who are pissed off at somebody saying "I love El Diablo," what are they going to say about a song that's translated to "I'm coming"? You know, like what's?
I have to wonder if this just boils down to whether the broadcaster really thinks that any significant amount of viewers is going to recognize it as a swear, or is going to recognize it during its broadcast as being offensive, visibly offensive or orally offensive.
Well, in the case of that song in particular, I cannot imagine the staging will have anything resembling subtlety. I mean, yeah, the song doesn't. Picture.
What's going on here? Is there like, I don't know, are we getting like hungry like the wolf style moaning? What's going on?
Sitting in a rocking chair, calmly singing the song.
I see, sipping hot knitting, cocoa and
knitting a sweater. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think that's probably going to win that national final, and I'm going to be very interested to see what needs to happen. If anything, maybe they decide. And Europe is not as weird about sex as America is,
right? No, of course not. No.
But like, it still seems like, depending on the way this goes, it's a family show, right? So like,
In theory. But where do families come from? I mean, that's fair point. I mean, who is the one to decide, and how much do their individual cultural mores, you know, if it's the reference group, if there's, you know, a Brit, a Swede, somebody from France, somebody from Portugal, somebody from Ukraine, somebody from all over, like, who decides?
I mean, I feel like there's enough hurdles that a song has to go over to get to the contest that along the way, that's just sort of beaten out of it. You know, like all the local censors would be like, you know, I don't know if this is going to fly or if this could cost us votes. I mean, ultimately, there is a strategy to appeal to the widest audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an understanding that, okay, we kind of have to be a little bit more moderate. I think it's one of those things where someone's going to keep pushing the envelope, and eventually these things are just going to be sort of normalized. But people are most countries are afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and again, you get
Finland.
I don't know, something that makes people go, oh, wait, hold on, we need to have a conversation about this.
I don't remember that Malta's. If Malta's song gets selected, there's going to be some serious conversations about that. And I would not be surprised if they were like, this is beyond cheeky. This is, we know what you're doing.
But
the song is terrible.
Also, can we just say for a moment that song is like a...
I know
drag race person trying to get a hit.
I know for a fact there are people who genuinely like it.
I'm not saying you can't like it. I'm just saying it's objectively terrible.
the thing that gets me every time is the do re mi fa that's the part where I'm like, okay, I'm on board. it's not high art.
Unfortunately, we cannot censor songs just for being
shit.
I mean, we didn't really get into this. Isn't in the notes, and I just kind of thought of this, but I was thinking about Albania's 2022 song "Secret," which managed to get to the contest and to rehearsals before the producers were like, "Your dancing is too sexy, and you need to tone this down."
Wait, that was a thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
That definitely happened.
Yeah, the outfit was considered too much. The choreo was a bit too in your face. They had to pull.
How was that outfit considered too much?
Well, they changed the outfit from what you saw on the televised showing versus what what they had in rehearsals, in the first set of rehearsals.
Yeah, the initial outfit, I think, was a big part of it.
I see.
I don't have an opinion on it, but that I think that was a major concern for them.
Pasties and some bootcut jeans.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Not quite.
Or something.
Yeah.
There were more straps, I guess.
Mm. But yeah, that was definitely a discussion as well. Was it the EBU? Yeah, it was the EBU who said it, wasn't it? But yeah.
It managed, like, all the rehearsals, all the producers, all the artists for that particular song, it managed to get to the stage before somebody was like, hold on, this is where we draw the line.
Mm.
And I don't think it was ever written down, or they could have, like, they might have anticipated they were doing something a little too risque, but they were like, oh, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, push the envelope, better to ask for forgiveness and permission, I guess.
Yeah. And they bring, like, I don't know how many different outfits, and choreographer could be like, okay, well, less hip thrusting and more hand waving.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's frustrating that it took until that long, which leaves the delegation with less time to be able to pivot.
Yeah. But I wonder, kind of going back to a song Eric mentioned earlier, Pascana, which I probably shouldn't even say on this show because that's profane.
Eh.
But the word itself, or the phrase that it invokes, is kind of integral to the song itself. Like, I don't know Finnish, so I couldn't say if there's an alternate word.
Mm-hmm.
But to change it becomes a completely different song in that point. So had she won and gone through with the song, would they have been like, nobody speaks Finnish, it's fine?
Right.
Yeah, is that it? I'm serious. I think that's it half the time. Is people are like, well, they'll get it in their country, but if their home broadcaster, if their local broadcaster says it's okay, how many people in Slovenia are going to be offended by a coarse Finnish word? How many people in France? How many people in Ireland?
But then you get up to the question of, what if it were a country where that language is spoken by a larger number of countries? Like, if you had something in French.
Why an English curse word.
So then you're naturally giving one country an advantage over another in terms of what.
And you know what? They deserve that.
They can have it.
Serbia needs a leg up. Let the Serbian swear. Let the Serbian say fuck.
Sam, has there ever been a case? I know we've had things like we don't want to put in, and then the way Belarus flamed out, where songs like made it through a selection process and then were rejected for political reasons. Has there ever been something that got that far and then was rejected because of its content? Like, not politically, but just in terms of, like, because I can't think of anything.
The Facebook song had to change its name entirely.
Yeah, because of there have certainly been songs that have changed because of commercial reasons. You know, the Facebook song was changed to the social network song. There was a reference to Google Maps in a Belarusian song that would have been 2014. Cheesecake by Teo. Take out Google Maps and change it to all the maps. But in terms of actual content of the words, I don't think so. I think if anything, there would be just, hey, change this word from effing to freaking.
Eat your salad, just skip the word.
Yeah, but that also gave Eat Your Salad the opportunity to have this moment of, you all know what we want to say here. Here, you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Luke Black, you know, game over, you know, holding the mic out to the audience, and they all yelled out, bitch, you know, it's,
I forgot that was part
that was
of that.
More of a meme point. Than a lyric.
Yeah. It became
an unofficial part of the text.
He did it for real in the pre-parties, and then there was no going back.
Yeah.
I think, but that's another good example. Like, it was once that got to, that was Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Liverpool. I know this was like a year and a half ago, but it's still just like, I don't remember this.
There have been things where, you know, visual representations are certainly needing to be tamped down on. You know, middle fingers from Blind Channel that had to be, and Jendrik. mm-hmm. they had to be modified.
Such a dichotomy between those two, though, because like Yendrick had a dancing middle finger on stage.
That was generally often a peace sign as well.
Okay, but. But
wasn't a real hand. That's the difference.
But yeah, Blind Channel had to
they had to like cover up their middle fingers.
Paint their middle fingers and couldn't do the symbol. I think as I recall, these songs were back to back in the final.
They were.
We had the middle finger variety hour.
6 minutes odd finger.
That one is so odd to me it just seems so arbitrary and scattershot that like they can literally sing a song about where the very first lyric is put your middle fingers up. But if they wanted to do it,
they couldn't.
They were told not to. And then Wacky Fun Guy from Germany is like, hey, can I have a giant middle finger on stage for 3 minutes? They were like, wunderbar.
I feel like enforcement is no better than just like the stupid vice principal at your high school.
It's like the refs in the NBA, man. Like,
yeah. I think it depends
on who you're ruling against.
I think we also need to bring up moments of actual organic, either people going rogue or just personal realizations of moments where things just slip out and things just happen. Yes. My brain goes to when the Danish act in 2011 got their very first set of 12 points. And 2011 was a crazy year. Like, everybody was getting 12s. There were like almost every country in the grand final got a set of 12s from someone. But when Denmark got their very first set of 12s, the lead singer of A Friend in London looks into the camera and addresses the, I believe, Dutch spokeswoman and literally looks in the camera and goes, thank you. I want to fuck you. And it's... And we're just going there like, all right, that was not bleeped. That was an organic moment of joy and surprise and attraction. What happens when somebody goes rogue? Like Aqua, they were the interval act when Denmark hosted back in 2001.
Wait, the Barbie Girl Aqua?
Yes, yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And they did a version of Barbie Girl full of profanities. Like, fuck off, Ken, you bastard. And like they weren't holding back. It was hilarious, but they went rogue. This wasn't in the studio version. They were probably told, yeah, don't do this.
Probably not in the rehearsals either.
Probably not.
Just like...
There is a moment in the Estonian entry in 2008, which granted the song was Leto Step by Crazy Radio. It was kind of a troll song to begin with. And in bad Estonian and Serbian kind of pastiche, at one point they said something like Kesavalet Nyt, like it is summertime. But at one point they changed the last Kesavalot to like Kesapanot, which changed it to it's summer fucking time.
One of the best times of the year.
I know. First of May outdoor starts today. Yeah. And then I think one of the most famous like moments of profanity in the contest, and I don't know if this was intentional or she just forgot to change it or she didn't think it wouldn't fly. France 1994, the song Je suis un vrai garçon, I'm a real boy, which is an awesome song. I highly recommend it. At one point, the singer Nina Morato is saying, but damn, there are days that are so hard. And she uses the word, mais putain. Séjour, which means whore, but also means, you know, fuck, there are days that are so hard. Yeah. And I don't know if she had been previously told to change it, but that was probably one of the earliest examples of cussing on the stage. And
French is like the second official language of the contest, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they give all the announcements in French. So you'd think.
Putain.
But I guess I can't remember if it's happened, but countries have been fined for doing stuff like that.
Mm.
When I think of the Young Georgian Lolitas, they had a technical issue, so they got to perform again, and they said they made a marijuana reference the second time.
Oh yeah, Pharmagold, yeah.
And I was like, did they get fined for that, or did they just kind of get like, did they wave their finger in their face and be like, oh, don't do that again?
Not part of me was almost thinking, again. Yeah, they weren't expecting to qualify, so they probably like, well, F it, let's do it, and then they qualified, they did it again.
They did it right the first time, though, when they did like their official performance as part of the running. They did it right, but then they're like, okay, you have to perform again because there was an issue. And then they were like, okay, let's do it now.
Well, that's Georgia, baby.
I know. Yeah.
I'm reminded that after Måneskin won in the encore,
yeah,
they brought the balls back, as it were.
It all cool. comes back to the balls.
That's right.
All comes back to balls. All right. Anyway, you listening at home, what do you guys think? Where is the line? Is there a line? I mean, in the
what's your favorite curse word?
Yeah,
tell us your favorite swear. Is there a great swear in another language that like we don't get here?
Oh yeah.
Teach us.
Please. Tabernacle. Yes, but let us know. Find us again on all the standard social media outlets, 12pointsUSA. Email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We love to hear from you, especially when it comes to discussion topics like this. We just want to keep this discussion going, and it's nice to know that folks are out there listening. Again, you know how to reach us all. We will be back with our next episode. We hope you will as well. But until next time, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
For fuck's sake.